sermon text for the Sunday of the Holy Trinity from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am lost, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And John 3:17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. This day in the church year is the festival of the Holy Trinity. And as we have already confessed in the Athanasian Creed, we as Christians are Trinitarians. We confess one God and yet three distinct persons. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Father is one person, the Son is one person, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. This is shown forth and borne out in our readings for this Sunday from the Holy Scripture. In the Gospel reading from Jesus, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And did you catch that? There were these multiple repetitions Jesus used of the word us. And he wasn't speaking of Jesus and the disciples. No, not there. You notice he says, we speak, we know, we bear witness to what we have seen. And then Jesus later says, our testimony. Jesus is speaking of the Godhead. For no human being has ever dwelt in heaven, and no human being has gained the knowledge of heavenly things. Only one has dwelt there. And only one is able to communicate the heavenly realities, to mortal creatures. Jesus alone, Jesus, the God-man, the Son of Man in this great work of atonement, came down from heaven to bear witness of heavenly things. Jesus, though he is bodily walking around on the earth in weakness and in humility, is at the one and the exact same time in the most intimate communion with the other two persons of the Godhead. Jesus states that he was in heaven from the beginning. Otherwise, he could not have come down for the purpose of giving testimony concerning heavenly things. In Isaiah's vision, we are introduced to the throne room of God, and flanking the throne of God are the mighty six-winged seraphim, the burning one, standing as an honor guard around God, praising God and crying forth, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. This threefold repetition, holy, 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 is reminiscent of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's showing us God in Trinity and brings out God's holiness. And later did you catch when God asks from the throne, who will go for us? Us. He uses the plural in that instant. The person of the Trinity is consulting together in the manner of the Godhead. And other parts of the propers of our day just drip with the power and the glory of God. Now, it is easy. We come every Sunday. We live our daily lives. And it is easy to forget about the power and the glory and the might of God. And so much of his power and glory and might is seen so often every day that we kind of take it for granted. We are also infused with science. We are a culture that analyzes substances and events, and we can fully, say, for example, describe what lightning is. And yet we forget the supernatural power that made the lightning, that put that in place so that it would work and happen. So it's a good thing to contemplate on the might and the power and the majesty of God. It is good to be reminded that here in the divine service, here in worship, we meet God, and we remember, as the writer to the Hebrews says, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You see, God is not the grandfather in the sky. He is not a celestial Santa Claus who approaches us with a twinkle in his eye. He is the mighty God, and reverence is to be shown to him at all times. And we attempt this in our divine service. We fold our hands, we bow our heads, we rise at certain points in time, and we show reverence to the Word of God. We stand for the Gospel. We prepare ourselves to meet Him in Word and Sacrament. Here it is veiled, and that's absolutely true, but His Majesty is present nonetheless. Here, His Word is spoken. King David bears this all out in the Psalm for the day, where God is seen as the mover of mountains, the breaker of false gods. We see in His temple, He sits in there in the midst of angelic songs of praise. And we on earth are in the grips of God's power and might. And this is a terrifying thing, as David says. The sound of His voice shakes creation. He makes mountains to skip like oxen and calves. He strips the forest bare. His word brings forth the water. David is there reminiscent, speaking of the great flood where the voice of the Lord brought forth the water and covered the entire earth. This is the God who is in His throne room. This is the God who Isaiah sees. And the prophet is stunned. He sees the mighty angels, those six-winged seraphs, the glowing angels covering their faces in reverence before God. And these same guardians of the throne use two wings to cover their bodies, for they are in the majesty and holiness of God. They are humble in that majesty. They cover their faces in reverence, for even the seraphim cannot endure the sight of the essential holiness of God. God is other. God is separate. He is different from His people in His perfection, in His power, and in His loving kindness, and in His uncompromising expectation of faithfulness from His people. And anything less than that, uncompromising, anything less than that brings about destruction. What does the close of the commandments say? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God threatens to punish all who break His commandments. Therefore, we should fear His wrath and not do anything against them. Upon seeing what Isaiah saw, and upon knowing all this immediately, his response was, I am undone. I am as good as dead because I am a sinful human being, and no human being may see the glory of God and live. Isaiah's own sinfulness overcomes him as he is in the presence of the perfect holiness of God. And what is the answer for his sinfulness, which we, as well as the prophet, must consider in all earnestness? He considers his sinfulness. We consider our sinfulness and our unworthiness, right? What is the response to that? What is the solution to that? It is to receive. I know it sounds odd, it sounds strange, but it is true. It is to receive the very things that God has to give. Receive the salvation that the Holy One of Israel offers up unto you. Sin required punishment. Of course it did, because if it didn't, God would no longer be holy. God would no longer be God. To be holy and to be the one who declares sinners holy and forgiven, God in His great love allowed His only begotten Son to suffer the punishment that humanity deserves. Though through Christ we have complete forgiveness and we are counted as righteous before God in His sight. So what is God's holiness? God's holiness, this is what we are praising, that He is the one who declares the sinner righteous. He is the one who through His very Son declares the sinner holy in His sight and forgiven. We sinners might be destroyed by the power of God's almighty voice. And yet what happened? The Word became flesh. The voice of God became flesh. The voice of God dwelt among us, became incarnate. Now, we have not yet entered into the throne room of God. Rather, Jesus came to speak to us of God's love and God's grace. The work of creation, the work of redemption, the work of sanctification will serve to magnify His glory and the supreme and only God. David, in his psalm, spoke of the great flood and the voice. Do you know, in your baptism, the voice and the flood washed over you. The voice and the flood combined together to cleanse you in those sacred and holy waters. In the flood and the voice, you have seen your Savior. You have seen your God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Every sinner who has been stained by sin in its various forms, every sinner who looks to Jesus in that very simple, very trusting faith, what? Shall not perish. What good news is that? Every sinner who trusts in simply trust that what Jesus did on their behalf is good for them shall not perish but have everlasting life. For in Jesus Christ all sin has been conquered and all your guilt has been taken away. And with Jesus there is complete redemption. Why? Why? Because God loved the world so much, so greatly, so beyond human understanding, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's glory is this, that He is the giver of eternal salvation. He loved the world, all the people in the world, everyone who makes up the human element in the world. No one is accepted. He proved this love with a deed so beautiful, so beyond all human comprehension and human words. He gave His Son, Jesus, as a free gift and a free present to the entire world. Life and Jesus. And life in Jesus. Life that shall have no end. The holy and the eternal God gives His best for a sinful and fallen world. He gives His best for His bitter, corrupt enemies. The death of the Son of God is the payment for the sins of the entire world. All people in the world, so that all people who believe in Him might live eternally. God's death, God's blood was thrown onto the scales, and it outweighs all the sin of the world. And there is nothing for us to do except to accept atonement in faith. It is Trinity Sunday. And we praise our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for His glory. The glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Holy Spirit is this, that the divine majesty has saved us and given us life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds, to the one true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.